This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Now let's go to the hotline. Of course, we call that the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Plenty of things to talk about with our super friend, Brian Anderson. Hi, BA. How are you?
I'm doing great, Andy. How are you?
Hanging in. I'm happy that your Rays are back in this thing at 1-1. First, let's talk about the World Series and the Rays and what a series it is now. So give me the lowdown on what you think and what's going to happen.
Well, I don't know what's going to happen, but I will tell you this. The Rays needed Game 2 so bad, as you well know. You know, after that loss in Game 1, the Rays looked like a team that had never been to the World Series, and the Dodgers, of course, looked like the seasoned core group that had been there three of the last 4 years. And so you thought to yourself, you know, with Blake Snell going in Game 2 and Dave Roberts going with a bullpen game, if the Rays don't get that game, they are in big, big trouble. Down 0-2 with an off day, it lets the Dodgers regroup, and then all of a sudden they're going to turn the ball over to Walker Buehler. So Game 2 was a huge lift for this team. They needed it in the worst way, and now it's breathed new life into them. So now it's a best of five, best 3 out of 5, and you've got a marquee pitching matchup tonight. Charlie Morton, who was just stellar for the Rays in Game 7 of the ALCS, going up against, of course, the Dodgers ace in Walker Buehler. So tonight is a very important game as far as, you know, the swing of the momentum. And, you know, I have no idea how it's going to turn out, but I will tell you this, the Rays are feeling very confident right now, and this series is much closer, I think, than people think. So we'll see.
All right, baseball nerd corner for a second here, BA.
Yes.
Why can't Blake Snell go more than 5 innings? And what is it like when you're facing a lineup to have to vary how you throw so that you can last longer to a game?
Yeah, you know what? I think Blake's his biggest problem is just that he, unfortunately, for what the constraints that the Rays put on him, and what I mean by that is he's not going to go much more than 100. Maybe he could get to 105. I don't remember the last time he threw 110 pitches in a game. And so if you're working with 105 pitches, his problem is he's just inefficient given that number, given that pitch count.
Okay.
You know, he's a guy that, you know, he can get strike one, strike two, and then he starts to nibble with the breaking stuff because he's got, you know, he's got really 4-plus pitches. You know, the fastball, curveball, slider, change. And, you know, he will just unfortunately start to nibble a little bit, and he ends up having these big pitch count innings. And that limits what he's able to do. I think he went 5 2/3 twice this season. That was his longest outing. But he was a guy that was going to go about 5, maybe 5 1/3, and 102 pitches. And it's frustrating because he's so much better than that. And, you know, until he learns to be a little bit more efficient, unfortunately, that's going to be the type of pitcher, you know, that he is. And so it's frustrating. But, you know, for right now, that's what Blake has been given the Rays all season long. And as far as facing a lineup and having to maneuver your way through it 2 or 3 times, you know, you have to have a game plan and you have to execute that game plan. But at the same time, you have to be able to read the hitter. What is the hitter telling you? I know what my game plan is, but is the hitter, you know, trying to do something a little bit different where next time up, I can maybe, if he's starting to lean out over the plate, now I've got him for the next time. I can give him stuff out there that he can see and lean, and then I can close him out with a fastball in or a slider down and in, whatever it may be. You've got to be able to execute the game plan, number one, but you've got to be able to read the hitter, see what he is trying to do in his at-bats, and make the adjustment based off of sight. If you can do that, you can get through a lineup three or four times. And unfortunately, that's a lost art in today's game.
BA, I want to talk to you about some of these general rule changes that seem to be floating around right now. Like, what was the story out of Minnesota today? They were saying that DH may only stay in the American League and that we could still be looking at a runner at second base and expanded playoffs. Well, I think some of Rob Manfred's ideas are okay. The DH should just be universal. I love the DH. I think it's great, but either have it or don't. We've been doing this dance way too long.
I couldn't agree more. I think that at this point, I would have thought that the universal DH was here to stay. I have absolutely no problem with that whatsoever. And I loved playing in the National League. You know, I got 5 years with the Diamondbacks. And so I love the National League style of baseball. I liked being able to go up there and hit, lay down a bunt, run the bases. But at the same time, if that went away, I would live because my primary job was to go out and pitch. And so, I'm perfectly fine with that. I love the idea of keeping the runner at second base in the regular season only. When I first heard that rule, I thought, boy, that is so gimmicky. But you know what? 2020, that's the way this year goes. Once it was put into practice, I loved it. Absolutely loved it. It kept games from going on into, just oblivion, number one. But number two, it added automatic excitement right off the bat. Runner at second, how are you going to play this? And if they do get that runner in or don't get that runner in, then how is the home manager going to play it? You know, if they don't get it in, maybe the home manager now all of a sudden thinks about bunting him over, doing something that you're playing small ball that you don't see too often in today's game. So I absolutely enjoyed that and thought, you know what, if that stays, I'm all for that. Wouldn't want to see it in the playoffs, obviously, but for the regular season, it's fine. It's like hockey. It's getting to the shootout, 5-minute overtime, and then let's go to the shootout in the regular season. But then in the postseason, they're going to play it straight up. And I love that rule in hockey, too. Those are the two big ones. I think the 3-batter minimum is a joke. That absolutely should go away because not only did it not, shorten game, I shouldn't say shorten games, but speed up the pace of games. But if you go back and look, this season, on average, there were still more pitching changes than last year with that rule in place. And that was supposed to limit that, and it didn't. And it's just a big waste of time. So I wouldn't mind seeing that go away. And if you're going to expand the playoffs, I'm okay with that. I think 8 in each league is a little much. 6 or 7, I'd be okay with. But 8 is a little much, as exciting as this postseason was. We'll just have to wait and see. I do know they want to expand those playoffs. I'll be interested to see where the number lies.
All right, brother, let's flip to football here. So where do you want to go? You want to go Cornhuskers or you want to go Brownies?
Well, we can go Cornhuskers quick. This is going to be a noon. I'll be able to see it in its entirety, and I'm not very optimistic. I'm excited to see football again, Big Ten football again. I'm excited to see Nebraska, but I think that they're going to absolutely get whitewashed by Ohio State. Way too much talent across the board, way too much depth. I mean, Ohio State's one of the elites. I mean, they are Clemson, Ohio State, Alabama. They're in that class, and Nebraska is not. So I'm not very optimistic about the outcome of that game. I'd like to see them hang tight, but I could also see them getting their doors kicked in. That's kind of been the theme.
What do you think of the Big Ten coming back?
Yeah,
I love it. I love the Big Ten coming back. They should have never left in the first place. I mean, we've yelled about this in the past. They should have never delayed the season like they did, and in the manner in which they did. I love that it's back, but boy, oh boy, have they painted themselves into a corner. I'm trying to get 9 games in 9 weeks where any positive case is an automatic 21-day quarantine for any player. It's almost like, yeah, we're going to bring football back, but we're also going to set it up, the rules up and the protocols up so stringent that we can say, I told you so, and this is why we canceled the season in the first place, because they are, it's going to be tough. It's going to be real tough for the Big Ten to get 9 games in 9 weeks with college kids, COVID, with the protocols they have in place. That will be real interesting to see how many games they actually do get in.
That said, it hasn't felt like college football started yet. I'll be honest. It doesn't feel like it's, like this weekend, it's finally going to feel like it started.
I agree. I absolutely agree. As much as I've loved watching these games, because they've been so scattershot with all of the different conferences, I completely agree. It does not feel the same. It doesn't feel the same. Now, like you said, hopefully tomorrow and going forward it will. But I'm in 100% agreement with you.
All right, let's flip over to the Brownies then. So that was a tough one in Pittsburgh. What do you think of them going into Cincinnati?
Oh, you absolutely, there's must win as you can get for a team that's 4-2. Absolute must win. The egg that they laid last week was disgusting. I was furious watching that game. I mean, Baker Mayfield looked like a rookie quarterback in game 1 or 2 with some of the reads and throws that he was making. And they just got absolutely demolished. And, you know, Pittsburgh, they just had to be laughing. Like, oh, here come the 4-1 Browns. Oh, I know. Let's take them serious. And they just beat them into oblivion. So, again, they've put them back into the third-place spot in the division. You know, Baltimore and Pittsburgh do not take them seriously because they continually lay eggs in those games. It's infuriating. And so now, Cincinnati quietly, they can score some points. Defense obviously suspect, but Joe Burrow seems to be the real deal, and you're going back into their place. You better win, and you better win, and you better look good doing it. That's about all I can say. Because last weekend was, as you could tell, I'm still not, completely over it because it was just they just got their teeth kicked down their throat.
Can you look at it, though, from the perspective that Pittsburgh and Baltimore are just way better than we are right now, and that they've got, of their, games remaining, 6 of those games are against teams with 1 or 0 wins?
True. All of that is
can
true.
Can you look at that?
But, yeah. No, I can't. Okay. If you want to, and win those games, beat the teams that are on your schedule, and, people can complain, well, they didn't play anybody. Well, that's not their fault. I mean, this is the team that's up next. You beat them and you move on. But at the same time, if you want to be taken seriously, you've got to be able to go toe to toe with the big boys and at least play them tough. I mean, that game was over halfway through the first quarter last week. It wasn't even competitive. And I think that's where it gets you. You lose a tight battle against the Steelers in Pittsburgh, a very good team that's undefeated. Okay, I understand that. But to just not even show up, to look completely unprepared and to get boat raced like they did, I mean, that's just – it's just inexcusable. Inexcusable. And so, yeah, beat those teams that deserve to be beat. And, by the way, you better beat them. But at the same time, until you can slug with the Chiefs, the Bills, the Ravens, the Steelers, then I guess we'll see. They get another crack at those two guys in the division, so we'll see what comes of it. But you've got to win all those games that you just talked about, Andy. That's for sure.
All right, BA. So give me your final thoughts on Sunday. What do you think? Do they win, lose, and what do they need to do to win?
Oh boy. What do they need to do to win? They need to quit turning the ball over. Baker needs to be a little bit more clean with his reads. That pick six that he threw to Minka Fitzpatrick, that's one of those reads where, I don't know. I mean, I've never quarterbacked, but in watching everything, it's just inexcusable. Like, that's football 101 right there. Very simple. I mean, stare down the slant route, which everybody in the world knows that Baker loves the slant route. And Fitzpatrick is just standing there like, here, throw it to me, and never saw him. I mean, that's just, I don't know. That was rough. So stay away from that kind of stuff. He has had success against the Bengals, and obviously their defense has not been very good in the time that Baker's been there. So, avoid the turnover, and they'll win a game. I think they'll win the game, but I think it will be a lot closer than you would hope it to be, and you still won't be convinced that they're on the right path yet.
PA, as always, we love talking to you. Thank you. Good
Thanks,
luck
brother.
to your Rays. We really want you to we want you to win this thing, just for us, for the little guys.
Oh,
man.
We're all behind you. Are you serious?
You got to do it for the little guys.
Yes, I appreciate that, Andy, and I will do my best to urge the fellas along. I don't know how I'm going to be able to do that, but I'm right with you.
Morse code, my friend. Send him some Morse code. Brian Anderson, thank you, as always. As always, thank you, thank you, thank you. BA said something very, very interesting on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Must win. I don't know that I've heard that at all this week.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.